Today I have Susan Pullen and Ron Tester on the show. Susan and Ron have put together a program to help holistic practitioners grow and develop their business in a responsible way that makes sense to them and their goals rather than keeping up with the pace of, let's say, society or corporations. Love this conversation. There's so many people that I've met that have transitioned into this world, myself included, that feel lost, that feel like, you know, I don't want to be a business person. I don't want to charge money. I don't know how to advertise. I don't know what insurance I might need. You know, so this is part of the conversation we have today is, what does responsible growth look like? Have you set a business plan? Do you understand the work that you want to do and the time you want to have for yourself? Sometimes we work just for the sake of working and don't even understand that we're bastardizing ourselves and the reason why we went there in the first place. I love Susan. I've had her on many times. This is my first time with Ron. They're both amazing humans. They seem very centered on helping the person in front of them and not just having this generic plan that's blanket out to everybody. They really want to help the individual grow their individual business. I'd love this conversation. Hope you get something out of it. We'll see you on the other side. All right, welcome back to our show. Today, I'm talking with two lovely human beings. Susan Pullen, who you might recognize the name. She's been on the show a couple times. And then Ron Tester. Today, this is a personal passion of mine. Yeah, like some people love this idea. Some people are, you know, it's like business, right? I personally love this because in my own personal journey, I transitioned from a corporate life into a more holistic life, whether that's work, play, personal ideas, all that stuff, right? And luckily for me, I was raised in a corporate setting. So I had a lot of the vocabulary, the vernacular, the KPIs, the acronyms, if you will, all the shit that, you know, like corporations, businesses base their stuff off of for growth, for understanding, for profits, for loss, all that stuff. Not a lot of people in this world, in this holistic world, right? The healers of the world, the sound healers, the Reiki practitioners, the acupuncturists, massage, I mean, the gambit kind of covers a lot. But a lot of the folks that transition into this type of life do it because, you know, for whatever reason, but one of the common themes I hear is that I'm sick of this life. I'm sick of corporate. I'm sick of 9 to 5. I don't fit in. I don't understand my place. And so they follow their passion. They start their Reiki training. They start their yoga training, whatever it is. They get to that point and it's like, well, what do I do now? How do I create a business from this? How do I sustain a living from this beautiful passion that makes me happy, makes me feel alive, makes me feel like I'm worth something and not just a cog in a wheel somewhere? But how do I sustain that? And so the work that you guys are doing on this idea is amazing. Man, we need more people in this realm, and we need to make sure those people are supported so they can find a living in this realm. So long-winded intro. Thanks for being here. You guys are amazing. Susan, welcome back. Ron, welcome for the first time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me back.
So, Susan, you've been on before, you know, a couple times. We have a fourth one now we have scheduled in the future. Why don't you take just a quick moment and just reintroduce yourself to our listeners and, you know, where you're at, which kind of stuff you're practicing currently.
Yeah. So, my passion is helping people to heal and to get through blocks in their life where they feel stuck so that they can really live their purpose and their gifts. Because I think that's really needed in the world. And there are so many things that get in the way of that. And so one of my specialties that we've talked about before is working with inherited family trauma and the patterns in families that repeat and on an unconscious level, cause us to limit ourselves or you know, repeat these experiences. So freeing ourselves up from that to really live our full personal destiny.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, all of what you just said, like a lot of times we don't realize how many things are kind of stacked on top of our happiness until we start removing some of that stuff. And then when we remove some stuff, it's like, cool, I got that out of the way. And then it's like, oh, there's something else underneath there. Okay, cool. All right. Now I built a system to where I can manage this. I can sustain this. I can understand how to unpack this. Whereas, you know, when you first enter into some work like this, it can be extremely overwhelming. So, you know, finding a lot of times we'll find our paths, right? The importance of a teacher is so impeccable and so Like the teacher is there to add when they know you can take more, but to take off when they know you've had too much. And that's something that even though I've been a teacher more or less my entire life, I forgot when I entered my own path. I'm like, I'll figure this out. You know, it's the biggest trick of the brain. The brain can figure out the brain. Like, we got this. That's what it does, right? It's a problem-solving machine. I got this. And then you go at it at your own. You just keep throwing yourself at the wall and like wondering why it's not working, wondering why it's not working because nobody's there to help you, right? And so finding that right person, whatever that person is, it could be an actual teacher. It can be a homie that's just there on the path with you, right? But finding that person to hold that space and to let you know like, hey, you're doing a great job, or hey, maybe you're chewing off a little too much. Let's back off a little bit. Take a rest day, you know? We don't build those into our healing practices, you know, but we all need those. So awesome. Thank you, Susan. Thank you for you know, refreshing our memories of what you do. And then Ron, you're joining us from Colorado. Is that it?
No, from Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta. That's right. All right. And so, yeah, thanks for being here, man. What kind of work are you doing right now, and what realm are you in?
So I'm a growth strategist for small business. I work with service professionals, primarily coaches, healers, accountants, lawyers, those types of folks. And help them to grow their business. Mm-hmm. And my background is as a physical therapist. Over the years, I started, grew, and then sold 3 different businesses. Wow. And now I just work with small business owners full-time.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's a lot of good experience, man. You know, to be able to grow that many businesses, sell them off, you know the value of it, and then lather, rinse, repeat, you know, get back into it, find the next project and kind of move forward with it.
Yeah, it really is. It is the joy of my life to help people that are growing their businesses.
Love that. So is that how you guys met? So Susan, were you looking for a business coach, and that's where Ron kind of, you guys have intersected paths?
Exactly. And Adam, I love what you said about, you know, a great teacher knows when to add a little more, push you a little more, and when to take things off your plate. That's been, for me, one of the great gifts of working with Ron as a coaching client in growing my business for the last 4 years, I think almost. He's so good at helping me, like, you know, scale back to reasonable expectations and, you know, make more out of less.
Yes.
Effort. And make sure that I'm taking care of myself and I'm not, you know, working till 10 o'clock at night and all of that. He's been a huge blessing in my life. So I'm so excited to be partnering with him in this.
That's beautiful. And finding the right teacher, right? So finding, you know, the right Ron in your life, right? So a lot of times we'll look at the business and say, okay, what's going on in business world right now? And a lot of people look at the .coms or the tech industry because that's been the biggest growth. And so a lot of times we'll look at that and be like, okay, well, what do they do? What's their blueprint? Grow as fast as you can, as big as you can. Does it matter the cost? Does it matter the effect? Just grow. To what extent and to why? And have we, like you said, have we asked the question as to why are we growing? What's our business plan? Who are we trying to help? What's going on here? You know, and if we're not asking those questions and giving it the time and the space to give an honest answer to that, and also leave room to pivot, you know, leave room to pivot. You might have a great idea to go off, and then all of a sudden this new information comes in and you're like, well, shit, I guess we're going left now, you know? But leaving that space and knowing that you don't have to do something somebody else is doing, right? You listen to the way that your business wants to organically grow, listen to you. And so, like, you know, having that teacher, having that guide to help you say, okay, this is what's happening in the world, but this is what's happening with you. How do we grow you and not just keep pace with the Joneses?
Right. You know, it's funny. I have had the privilege of working with Susan for years, but what she didn't mention is that I've also hired her to help me, to coach me in a lot of different ways of clearing my blocks and limitations and that sort of thing. Mm. So it's been this really wonderful synergistic relationship. It's not like, you know, one of us has, you know, all the answers or whatever. We come to each other for different things. And it's been spectacular for me.
That's, you know, that's the basis of a beautiful relationship, you know, friendship. That's a reciprocity, you know, like you give, you receive, you give, you receive. And it's just constant, like this flow of energy, information, you know, just support, love, you know, it's just, it helps us know that we're not alone. Like this world can be such a cutthroat thing. And that's the reason why a lot of us have gotten out of you know, whatever corporate life or whatever structured life that is, because we just don't want to play that game anymore. And so to move over into this realm and to be supported by, you know, whatever way that you need to be supported, sometimes we need to be pushed to drive, right? Sometimes we just maybe get lackadaisical and be like, okay, well, whatever's going to come in is going to come in. And you need that Ron to be like, but dude, if you sent that email out, did you really do that social media post? Like, it's not that hard to do that to get your business. You know, just like those little pushes we don't know we need until somebody says it. It's like, that's the structure. Got it. Okay. Understood. Right. So where did you guys get this idea to create this workshop that you're working through to help people grow their business or understand that they have a reason to be in this business in the first place?
So I do, you know, this from our other conversations, Adam, but I offer a practitioner training for mm-hmm. people who want to learn to support people in the ways that I do. And I've noticed over the years of doing that, so that's huge, right? To say, this is what I really want to do with my life that feels meaningful. These are my gifts. I think I might be good at this. I'm going to commit to this. To go from that to saying, this is now going to be the way I support myself can be a really big leap for people, right? And so I see where having the support of like the clarity, having someone else to walk you through, these are the exact things to do and ignore everything else. Mm. You don't need to do, you know, those other 500 things, just do this now and then do this other thing and then do the third thing. And so having someone to break that down and make that path clear, I think is really needed, because that transition, and it's fast for a lot of people to go from I'm in a corporate job or I'm in whatever I've done up to this point to I'm a coach, I'm a healer, I'm helping people to I'm a business owner is like now there's a whole new set of questions and tasks. And
yeah. I had a conversation with a yoga studio owner a number of years ago, and she had just opened her studio maybe a couple of years before that. And, you know, everything was going good. It was pre-COVID. and she got her first complaint, you know, some guest complaint of something, you know, whatever, you know, dealing with public, people are going to have complaints or your feedback. And I had a comrade, I was there to teach class and just happened to be there right after she received the information. And the person that was complaining was, you know, some kind of business policy, refund of some sort. And the business owner was like, I'm not comfortable, you know, giving into your requests. And this person said something along the lines of like, you're a businesswoman. You have the opportunity. This is your business. You're a businesswoman. You can make these changes. And so where I got into the conversation was where the owner was like, I am not a businesswoman. I am not a businesswoman. I am not that person. I am not that character. And I was like, okay, cool. So let's finish that statement. Okay. Now, let's just look at it practical terms. You own a business. You recognize as a woman. You are technically a businesswoman. Okay. How you define that is up to you. You do not have to take the definition that TV, that movies have given us of what a business human, business woman, business man it is, right? You get to write that definition. This is your business. You're not corporate. You're not part of a stock holding company. You're not public. This is you. This is your own brick and mortar. You define it, but you are a businesswoman, but you can play that character how you want to play it, not how you've seen other people play it. And I think that's where we get a lot of that imposter syndrome or that trepidation of moving over. It's like, I don't want to be the iron fist. I don't want to be the decision maker and like hire and fire and do all these things and marketing and advertising and all this shit. But like you were saying, Susan, like these are chunks you can bite off in pieces. Right. When you look at the whole big picture, it's like, God damn, that's overwhelming. But when you have a Ron, it's like, hey, now this is what we're doing. This is 10 feet of problems we're going to solve, but we're going to do it 1 foot at a time. Chunk it out. Here's a chunk. Here's a chunk. Okay. Now all the chunks add together to a sustainable business. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It is so important to be able to do that. You know, when Susan and I were talking about developing this program, from my perspective, I work with a lot of different service professionals, people that have a real passion for serving their community. And to see way too often, people get into that because they love it, they want to serve, but they haven't been able to figure out how to make it sustainable. And part of that is sometimes it's a mindset issue, whether it's imposter syndrome or something else. And so what I see is people retreating from that and going back into corporate, even though they don't want to, and they feel like it's soul-sucking to do that, but they feel like there's no alternative. And so for me, when I was talking with Susan, just the idea that we could really help people to make a substantial qualitative difference, to build us a sustainable business, and then that they could give their gift to the world in a way that makes a huge difference. Instead of shrinking back, they're able to step into it. And yeah, it's super exciting, super important to me.
That's amazing work. So what is so Ron, you've been doing this kind of coaching work for a little while, and you guys are just, kind of coming together to put this program. But what are some of those first steps as, somebody gets the idea of, whatever the reason they've left their previous life or they're wanting to start this new thing, what are some of those steps to like maybe responsibly establish your business, taking a look at those steps before just diving into it and be like, oh, we'll just figure it out as we go.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that what's super important early on is to figure out, obviously, what you want to do, right? How you want to serve people. And then to figure out, is there a market? Is there a need for that? Right. So we call it product market fit or, service market fit. You have to figure out not just, oh, I'd like to do X, but are there people that want X that are willing to pay for X? And so figuring out that before you jump headlong into doing whatever it is that you want to do is so important, because you can run down rabbit trails for years trying to sell what nobody wants, or to, where you don't hear the words exactly right, or you don't communicate the value proposition exactly right. One of the things that Susan and I have done was we've been meeting with coaches and healers about this program, talking to them about what their needs are, not saying, hey, would you buy this thing? But what are your needs? Where do you find yourself getting stuck? How could you move forward? What are the ways that you could do that? And by getting clear about what your market wants, what the people that you want to serve, what they really want and need, is, I think, the first step to being able to establish a sustainable business.
Well, and it sounds like a lot of what you're saying too, like working with a coach or working with somebody that has knowledge of, business or the area that you want to move towards, it helps to stop you from reinventing the wheel. And that's something that I found myself doing quite a bit in the beginning of my journey here is like, just reinventing how to market, reinventing how to do this. How does this work with me? It's like, stop that. There's people that have done this before you. Talk to a person or like look at a business that's similar to yours, see what their business, you're not stealing their ideas. All those ideas are out there, right? It's like you were saying, Ron, it's like funneling it into a palatable opportunity, right? Instead of all the things you have to do, it's like, hey, just try this thing right now, right? Just do that one thing, right? There you go. Okay, you got some success from there. Now we move on, so is it mainly independent practices that you guys are kind of moving towards, or is this something that can help, multiple practitioners? Let's say like I have a Reiki studio that I have three or four different practitioners that practice underneath me, and we all book time together. So is this like a multiple kind of idea, multi-unit, or is this more of an individual business owner kind of idea?
Yeah, our primary focus is with the individual practitioner, primarily because they are the ones in greatest need of support, right? They need to have somebody there. That being said, I think this program would work for a multi-practitioner group as well, especially if they were all kind of aligned in a way that made sense for them to move forward together, right? But yeah, that's where we're headed.
Okay. Now, I have a, yeah, we mentioned growth earlier, and that's something that I've been personally struggling with over the last few years is the desire to grow from an egoic standpoint or the desire to grow from a capacity standpoint. And I was just talking to a friend of mine. So I just recently got an office to do my work out of over in Linwood. So I'm moving into a physical space, out of my house, and it's beautiful. It's been really nice. And part of this office space that I'm sharing, there's a bunch of therapeutic practitioners. There's acupuncturists, all kinds of different practitioners there. And I was talking with one of the practitioners, is one of friends of mine, and I was talking with him because he just started his practice, just graduated, you know, doing his therapeutic psychology stuff. And he shared with me that he is already overworked, already kind of burning out, but at the same time beating himself up for not being able to fill his client load. And, you know, so it was a good opportunity for me to kind of look at myself and have this conversation with him too. But, you know, I'm 43, so grew up mainly in the 80s and 90s. And in that time frame, whether you were part of the conversation or not, it was make as much money as you can, grow as fast as you can, like do all the work, right? If you have time, you fill that time. So if I work from 9 a.m. till 8 p.m., I should have business going from 9 a.m. till 8 p.m. And that's, if I don't, then I'm a failure. And so, but is that sustainable, right? Do I need to fill all those 9 hours? Can I fill 5 of those hours and still financially be stable and have time in between to do all the shit that I need to do to be a human, right? So it's like, where is that responsible growth coming from? And are we driving it? Or are we being forced into it? So like approaching that kind of idea and approaching that kind of mentality, you know, what are some of the things that that you've seen to help people kind of walk back off that ledge of growth and just be okay with where they're at?
So I totally resonates what you shared for me, Adam. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've definitely been in that, like, well, if I want to have more money, then I need to add more hours to my day. And that is definitely not a sustainable model. The other thing that I see a lot with business owners is knowing when enough is enough. Mm. When have I done enough in my day? So when we work for someone else, then we have someone else usually that says, you know, this project is good enough, or, you know, you've put in your time for the day, for the week. We have someone else that sets that kind of guardrail and finish line for us. And that's one thing that I see a lot of new business owners, we don't think through for ourselves. We don't articulate that of right. Like, when I've done this, then I'm done for the day. And that's a success, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So, but also to your point, I see 2 or 3 clients a day. And so I just started with, this is what I need to sustain myself financially. And this is what I need to do my very best work with clients, because I'm interested not in burning myself out, but in having a sustainable job work that also really serves my clients the best that it can.
Yeah.
And so for me to have time to go for a walk in the middle of the day and to do my meditation in the morning and things like that, building that into this is my maximum sort of billable time, you might say.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, you know, when I first yo-yoed back and forth between corporate and freedom, I call it freedom, for a couple times before I finally was like, okay, no, I'm good. I'm cutting the ties. I'm severing that off. But that back and forth, it's so hard, you know, if you don't have those parameters and you don't really understand what you're doing. For me, my first foray out of my corporate restaurant gigs were doing a teacher training. And so I went into full-time teaching yoga and doing teacher training. So, you know, teaching 12 classes a week, plus doing, you know, probably 16 hours of teacher training every weekend, just to pay bills and just to sustain, because that's what I felt I had to do. And it burnt me out so badly that it took the practice of yoga, the thing that saved my life, it took that away from me because that became my job. And if you're teaching 12 to 14 classes a week, there's not a lot of time for you to take classes also, because you're teaching about 3 classes a day. So if you're having that kind of workload on the thing that you were once passionate about, then that turns into something that you're negative about. And then that's this repetitive process of like, oh, I've just messed up. Now the thing that I love, I hate. Now I should just go back to my paycheck, because at least that was something that was more sustainable and had benefits and insurance and all the whatever, whatever, right? So yeah, like finding that workload that really makes sense to you, because you've left that workload for a reason, to create something more sustainable for you. So that desire to keep growing and driving and building and all that stuff, it's It's so exhausting.
It is exhausting. You know, when I first started my first company, I didn't know anything about business, right? I have an undergraduate degree in English and a graduate degree in physical therapy. I wasn't compelled to work because I wanted to make a lot of money, although I did. What I really wanted was to figure out what to do, what the right things were. And without somebody there to kind of say, this is the lever you need to pull or push, this is what you need to do, ignore that. It's super hard as a new business owner, even a business owner that's been doing it for a while, to figure out what do I really need to do? What are the essentials and what are the extracurriculars? Where should I focus my time, energy, attention, and what can I let go? And I think that a lot of my practice really is helping people see, you know, this is a high leverage task. This will help you to get farther down the road. This really isn't necessary right now and is a distraction. And I think that the more we can help people to see that, you know, when I first started, I made a mind map of the different things that I needed to do. And I don't know, there were hundreds of things to do on that list, right? I mean, there's so many things to do. Of course, it was overwhelming. And because I didn't know what was coming down the pike, I couldn't see what the future was. I just felt like I had to do them all. And I really drove myself terribly, really neglected my family, neglected my own health. It was just awful. So a lot of the reason why I like to coach now is to help people to avoid that situation altogether.
Yeah. All right. Next big one for me is knowing your value and being able to charge for it. That's, God, that's been such a hurdle for me personally to get past, but that's something that, you know, by no means am I past it. You know, I'm working my way through it and I'm understanding there is value, but that's something I do help people with a lot too, because it's plagued me for so long that it's so counterintuitive, because we start this business because we want to help people. We see people for whatever reason, they're in their plight, they're in their whatever thing that we can offer them. So we want to help them. But then we have problem asking for money for that help because, well, I'm doing my dharma. You know, I hear people say a lot, I'm just trying to help. I just want to be helpful. But you still have to pay bills, right? For you to do this work and for you to be helpful, we're householders. They call that in the Vipassana tradition, right? We're householders. We need to be a part of society. We're part of the economy. This is the way that the society is built right now. So we can't all excuse ourselves and go live in the Himalayas in the mountains in a cave, right? Love to, romanticized about it many times, but until I get to that point mentally, I'm a part of society. So I got to be a part of it. I got to be an active part of it in some kind of way. So how do you kind of coach people with that recognizing that you hold value and getting that story out of their head about, if you want to do this for a living, you have to charge for it, right? So where are some steps that can help people kind of guide them through that?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is really a mindset shift, right? I mean, I can say, you know, you should charge X or X plus 10%. But what people need to understand is that to build a business that is sustainable is an act of service. Hmm. Because if you take on clients or people that you're working with, and you're not able to provide them what they need in a sustainable fashion, then you're really not doing them the service that you should be, right? And of course, you know, everyone likes free stuff. I like free stuff too. But the reality is that sometimes we don't even value the things that we get for free like we do the things that we pay for. So from my perspective, a couple things, just remembering a sustainable business is a service to my community. And I think that that's the most important thing. And then realizing that you are serving people by charging, not outrageous thing, just what is appropriate. Charge what is appropriate. And that number will change, obviously, over time. It usually does. But to be able to say, this is reasonable, and it is an exchange of value. I'm giving, I'm receiving, and that makes it sustainable. And honestly, that makes it, in the end, a better thing for you as a human being.
Yeah. So. I think you touched on something very important that not a lot of us really understand until it happens. But if you continuously give your stuff for free, the value goes away, right? And I've seen that in practices where, you know, there's these big movements of, you know, like soul retrievals or, you know, ancestral, you know, lineage kind of like going back in. That was a complimentary session, And I could physically see the person that the session was happening to not taking it seriously because they had no investment in it. And that investment doesn't always have to be cash. Sometimes, you know, in the indigenous cultures, they'll do trade, right? So we'll cook a meal for you, right? Thank you for receiving this part of my soul. I'm going to cook a meal for you for the trade, right? Because I'm showing you the value of what you've just offered. So I think that's a huge caveat that we don't really understand as the person that's holding that space, is that for them to have some buy-in into it, they got to have a piece in the game, whether it's a financial piece or whatever it is. But that shows that they are really interested in their own personal journey too. It's not just, hey, I see you and I can help you. Yeah, it's like that whole idea of you meet the Buddha on the road, kill the Buddha. It's like, no, come to me, find me for help. I don't want to go to you and be like, I got you. I got the answers for you, right? So, Susan, have you had experience with that with your own personal practices?
Oh, absolutely. And I made that mistake too, I would say. I went down that road of undercharging and giving away more than I needed to. And I mean, I love to give things away. That's great. But yeah, I think just that investment, it's really important.
Yeah.
In the value that a client gets out of it. And I've experienced that for myself, where when I invest more, you know, I will stretch myself, stretch myself in terms of my comfort zone, you know, just a little bit more, if I've invested something in it, or, you know, I'm going to show up a little bit more when I've invested something in it.
Well, actually that leads to a great question for you, Susan. Let's say like you start off your practice with your skill set, right? This is what I feel comfortable offering. This is what I feel, you know, good at, right? But as you start to see more people, you know, maybe some modalities come to your path and be like, hey, you know, people keep asking about this modality, or I'm drawn to somatic work or breath work or things like that. So how have you built that idea in a responsible way? Because I mean, there's so many avenues now where it's like, you know, I've had conversations with people that are like, you know, I really love IFT and I watched a video on YouTube. I feel comfortable with it. Wow. No, let's not do that. Right. Yes. YouTube's a great resource. Don't get me wrong. Like, but don't get your training and then go practice on a human being with just your YouTube skills. Right. You know, there's a responsible way to do that. You know, find your teacher. There's a teacher out there for a reason, right? You're drawn to that modality for a reason. There's a teacher out there that's going to fit you, and you're going to find that person. You'll have a great time, right? So how does that kind of, how have you approached that as your skill set wanted to grow? And maybe you were like, oh, I don't have time for that growth yet. But, you know, finding the time to responsibly approach these modalities.
Yeah, absolutely. Love the question, Adam. So one thing I noticed for myself in my, I would say, hunger for, you know, training after training and modality after modality, is that for me, underneath that, there was a kind of scarcity mindset of like, what I have or what I am, what I bring won't be enough. And so there was this like, I need one more piece of paper that says that I can do this. When really it was, you know, was never about the piece of paper. So I think that was part of it for me, was acknowledging that. And so leaning into the work of trusting what I have already, you know, professionally trained and educated, and also just my beingness, right, you know, and that there's value in that, and there's enough value in that. And now that I'm a little more developed as a business person, I bring my intuition in here a lot, because, you know, I can constantly be like, ooh, you know, shiny new workshop in my inbox today. So for me, checking with my intuition of, you know, is this the right thing, the right teacher, the right time? And it has made that so much easier for me to just pass on so many things, instead of chasing so many rabbit holes and, you know, wasting time and money on things that really I don't need.
Yeah.
And yeah.
No, I haven't. I there's so many, you know, in my personal journey too, and in people that I talk with, you know, they're it's almost like they're chasing certificates. You know, it's like, if I just keep learning, maybe one day my confidence will catch up with the knowledge that I have, and then I'll just feel like I'm actually supposed to be here. But it's like, you know, it's like we're chasing these certificates and these certifications because we're just afraid to practice what we already know. You know, and that's something that I had to wrestle with a lot in the beginning. And now I'm kind of on the other side where I'm like, why is everybody certified, everybody and everything? Like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, you know, the breath work, like, I get that there's like tetany, there's signs of, you know, distress and all this stuff. But like, you know, two cavemen sitting around the fire back thousands of years ago was like, oh, I feel like this dinosaur just chased me. Okay, well, saber-tooth tiger, dinosaurs and cavemen weren't around together. Saber-tooth tiger just chased me. I feel a little anxious. And then other caveman next to him was like, take a deep breath. Like, okay, cool. Oh, wow, I feel better. Now you owe me $5,000, right? It's like, you know, there's ways that we can still help people without, like, you know, putting them through the whole ringer. But, you know, that's my own personal journey that I'm working with certifications and certificates right now. But I do agree that there is this innate idea to keep chasing the knowledge because we're just afraid to utilize the knowledge that we've already learned.
Yeah, I think that for so many people, that because they don't feel enough in themselves, then they feel like they have to get it from the outside world, right? Mm-hmm. It's like there's a guy who uses this illustration. It's like we're diamond on the inside, but we don't see it, and so we paint over it with nail polish. It's like, mm-hmm. No, you're a diamond. You don't need the nail polish. And I think too many of us feel that compulsion. I've got to get extra certification. I've got to go back to school. I got to get my doctorate or whatever it is. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But fundamentally, we are enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Rod, I got a question for you. So saying a client comes to you and says, hey, you know, this is my goal. This is what I'm looking at. This is what I've done in the past. This is what I want in the future. One of the things that I've seen is, you know, with people transitioning into this realm in whatever way, is that there's a lot of transferable skills from their previous life, whether it was a job life or their lived life, that can lend to this new path in a very beautiful way if you really understand what it is that the opportunities are there for you. You know, for like myself, you know, I was a corporate guy for a long time and was very jaded and done with all the acronyms and all the things. But at the same time, as I'm starting to transition in my own stuff, like writing a budget, knowing how to do that is very helpful to me. You know, understanding that, you know, profit and loss statements, you know, understanding, you know, like, you know, all these different types of things. Those transferable skills are very important. But sometimes we're so jaded from what we've just come from that we just ignore that. Like, I don't want that part of my life into this part of my life, even though it's going to help add structure, add organization, so you can do whatever you want to do with that. So how do you kind of like come to help people come to grips with that previous life served a purpose, and there are things you can draw into this life with, and let's do it in a responsible way?
Yeah, it's funny. I have a client that I'm working with right now who has that exact same feeling. It's like, I want nothing to do with anything that has ever gone on before today. And therefore, and to me, I get it, because, you know, the corporate life was not the best life for this person. But the reality is there's so many skills, so many transferable things, so many life lessons that are learned. And it doesn't have to be just work. But for her, this work was a treasure chest, right? And maybe the way that it transpired in her life wasn't, but she could take all of this and bring it over into the work that she wants to do now and really flourish. And so it's an ongoing conversation, to be honest. There's not a magic. It's a reframing, seeing the value in it, and then just working on it constantly. Like, you know, we're going to pull that in a little at a time and just honor all of that.
Yeah, it's almost finding a way to integrate your trauma. You know, it is. And that's, you know, one of the hardest things we can do as a person that holds space for somebody that's going through it is, you know, when you can find your way that your trauma serves you and it's a very triggering statement, you know, and it's one of those statements you make and then you got to like duck and bob and weave, you know, from people. But it is when you can find the way to integrate that trauma, then, you know, from an egoic standpoint, we don't feel like we've wasted time. We were learning during that time. So it's like, okay, the ego is appeased because, okay, cool, we got a lesson out of that. But there's so much beauty in what we've done, what we've gone through. You know, it's like the actualization moments of life, right? You know, like Susan, I'm sure you've gone through this a few times and have some more to go ahead of you. But it's when you find those ways that all those weird passions that you're that whatever reason you're passionate about coalesce into this thing that presents a product, a package, an offering of whatever it is, you know? Like for me, I don't know why I've been so passionate about music my entire life. I've been in bands, I've done some stuff, but I've never done anything with it. Love music, been moved by it. I love the idea of quantum physics. I understand zero of it, but I try to throw myself at it all the time. You know, energy healing, yoga, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, here you go. There's this path that Adam can walk that utilizes all of those weird skills, you know, like audio engineering. I'm doing podcasting, energy work and sound. I'm a sound healer and an energy worker now. Like, it's so cool to see how all these nonsensical things finally make sense in some kind of way, you know? And we don't really know that until maybe we have somebody that can guide us to that, or we quiet ourselves down enough to really understand that, you know, I love the idea that everybody's unique, but nobody's special, right? So find the uniqueness that creates the unique version of Ron, the unique version of Susan. Then go ahead with it, right? Nobody can Ron like you can Ron. Nobody can Susan like you can Susan, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's true. I think that as part of my background and training, I'm certified in the Book Yourself Solid method of it's for marketing small business essentially, and one of the tenets of that is there are people that we're meant to serve, we're called to serve, and I think when we own that and just feel that inside, then it can really help us to move forward with, because I, with all of my crazy background in English and physical therapy and do all that, I'm called to serve people, and for one reason or another, there it's like a jigsaw puzzle that comes together when I'm with somebody and say, "Oh, there's that weird thing that I know about that just fits perfectly here." So I think that's critically important.
Oh, I love that. You know, and it's so cool when you can see the process of that happening, right? It's like, oh, wait, I know where that puzzle piece is. Oh, I've been holding on to that one for a while. It's deep in the pocket, but I know exactly where that one's at. You know, it's such a cool feeling, you know, to be able to finally. You know, just now, it's not even the right thing to say, you know, it's not the right feeling to have. It's nothing right about it. It's just, there's an opportunity to share information. And it's like this bit of information that for whatever reason was just plopped into my head lends perfectly to this thing that you've just gone through. So you can take that as you wish, but here's this little jewel that just popped up in front of us both. Right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I love this conversation, Adam. And, for me, I see it as like the ways that the soul has like sown these seeds along the way, right? Wow. And they seem like independent, unrelated, you know, random. And then all of a sudden it lights up and there's a whole thread that runs through your life. And it's so amazing and beautiful when you get to see that, right?
Yes. Yes. You know, that visualization reminds me of one of the first stories of the Vedas, Indra's net. So when the universe was being birthed, Indra cast his net out across the universe. And at each point where the net intersected, there's a little jewel that hung down. And that jewel represents each soul in humanity just cast out through there. And we're all connected and we're all shining at each other at the same time, but we just kind of feel maybe disconnected at times, but there is a big connection there. And that connection is that support that we all need, right? That reciprocity. Like I have something that can help you on your path. There's something that you have that helps me on my path. And when we can figure that out, it's like, hey, we're all in this together. We're working towards the same goal. Maybe we're just approaching it different ways, using a different vernacular. I have a religion, you know, shade. I have an atheist shade. I have a spiritual shade to it. But, you know, basis of all that is don't be a dick and try to do your best, right? I mean, even Satanism talks about that. Satanism is like, hey, man, do what you do. Just try not to hurt people while you do it, right? And that's fucking Satanism, right? So now I do have a question because I love this one. The myth of service excellence is enough. And that was one of the bullet points you guys sent over. And working in restaurants for 20 plus years, like, man, that one is a triggering statement to me because the customer is always right. It's a really tough thing to deal with. So like, what does that mean to you guys? And what does that like bullet point kind of like expand out to?
I think for me, I see that, and I fell into this trap myself, but I see this with clients who are stepping out on their own too. There's this idea that I'll just be really good at what I do and the rest, you know, the business will take care of itself.
Right.
You know, I'll just be excellent at this and people will flock to me without me having to do anything about it in terms of like sales or marketing or, yeah.
Yeah, that's I can say I fell under that one too for a little bit. I think that was more so of my apprehension to rejoin social media, but I totally feel that. Ron, it seemed like you had something to say about that.
Yeah, you know, there's a saying that if you build a better mousetrap, the world would beat a path to your door, and that is probably the biggest lie in business. That is just not true. You can have the best mousetrap in the world. You can be the best practitioner in the world, and if you don't talk about what you do, and if people don't know about what you do, it doesn't matter. And so, you know, realizing that that's part of your calling too is to share it, right? Not in an abrasive or you know, caustic way, but just, hey, this is what I do. And yeah, it is lovely when you're good at it and people refer other folks to you. But the reality is that no matter how good you are, you need to share what you're good at with the world, or the world just won't know.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, as these realms of business start getting more people practicing them and more people transitioning into them, do you think that government involvement in some kind of like certificate ways or, you know, and I don't mean this in a nefarious way, but just as businesses start to grow, and I know that the yoga studios have started to feel this over the past few years, you know, there's organizations, the music organizations that manage, you know, royalties, ASCAP, BMI, you know, all those fun places. And in restaurants, we had to deal with that a lot because, you know, we're playing music a lot. So we have to, you know, have these services, we're paying royalties, blah, 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 all this stuff. That was never anything that touched yoga studios until I think it was right before COVID. I started getting calls at the yoga studio I was managing from ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, all those companies saying, hey, technically what your yoga studios are doing, your yoga teachers, when they teach a class, that's technically a live music event and you need to pay us for that. And so now the yoga studios are having to cough up to probably $1,200 to $1,500 a year between all of those services to pay the royalties so they can play music in their classes and the teachers can teach. That, you know, nickel and diamond studios, you know, they're small businesses that have a hard enough time staffing and keeping the doors open. And now we start tacking all this stuff on and they're not budgeted for it. So, so do you see that in the future as, you know, we, let's say, use the word legitimize a lot of these businesses, do you think corporate involvement or government involvement is going to be there as far as like practices, procedures, you know, certifications, all this stuff that, you know, they might look at a doctor's office for?
I personally hope not.
Yeah.
It is really concerning to me. As a physical therapist who's owned heavily regulated businesses in the past, oftentimes regulations are just a bare minimum. And I don't think that there is a clear way of regulating the kinds of things that people were talking about here. You know, coaches, healers, you know, if they do, it'll probably just be some additional, you know, annual cost, right?
Right.
Without a lot of real benefit, right? We're looking for public safety issues, that sort of thing. You know, obviously, if you're not interested in public safety, you shouldn't be practicing, right? I mean, that is accurate. But I don't think the government, at this point, from my perspective, can really add much to what we do. And I would hate to see them, you know, burdening people with regulations and additional fees that aren't really helpful to either the practitioner or the practitioner's audience or community.
Yeah. And from what I've seen so far, it looks like a money grab, honestly. It seems like a lot of the talks of standardizing energy work in some kind of way has been like under the umbrella, just placed under the umbrella of massage therapy, which seems like that seems to be a dumping ground for a lot of like the energetic work that goes on out there. I'll just put it under massage therapy, LMT, you know, let's just put it under that certification, fees, bills, all that fun stuff. But it does just seem like a money grab. Oh, people are making money doing this now. Oh, we could probably take some money from that. So let's start charging those people and let's get some money from them. Now, the follow-up with that is, are the businesses that you guys are focusing towards helping, can this be an owner operator, like non-LLC, like not even corporatized, but you know, like a lot of people do, not even a DBA, right? They're just out there just taking money, right? They're, you know, maybe doing some Reiki here and there, doing some sound baths here and there, but not an LLC, not a DBA, not a, you know, whatever that is. Is the structure that you guys have, is that able to help, you know, people that are just kind of dipping a toe in before they actually fully commit to that? Or is it mainly for people with that structured, I've got a business, it's legitimized through corporate or through government, yada, yada?
It's definitely would be helpful for someone who's, you know, who's just starting out and doesn't have a, like a formal business structure necessarily, or someone who maybe is a sole proprietor, but hasn't, you know, they're not at the scale where being a corporation or an LLC or something makes sense. So yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Those are the, yeah, that would be in the zone of people that we're working with.
Right on. And Ron, do you, so in your work that you do you like kind of set people up to move towards, let's say they're moving towards that path of an LLC, or maybe they have no idea that that's where they want to move to. Is that something that you kind of like, you know, see the person that comes in front of you and says, okay, like, this is great where you're at, let's just build from there, or we're going to try to move you toward an S Corp, an LLC, or, you know, one of those acronym kind of names?
Yeah, I don't really try to move people anywhere, cool. but I will explain kind of why they might consider it, you know, some of the advantages or disadvantages of being where they are or going to a different kind of structure. And I do think that it's important to consider it. But fundamentally, I think we have to choose what works for us, right? That's my perspective.
Right on. So with the course that you guys are putting together, the first round is coming up soon, right?
Yeah. So we have a six and a half week running start program that's focused on like the fundamentals of business and then the mindset and the moving the inner blocks to making those fundamentals easier. So it's very much like I'm thinking about a business or, you know, I have this notion that I'd like to be of service and I'm still figuring out how to package that and what that looks like. And so we're targeting a start of April 25th. Mm. You know, this is a pilot for us, so that date might be flexible, but yeah.
Nice. And is this something that, is it in person, Zoom, combination of both? Because I know you're, Susan, you're local, you're Washington. Ron, you're saying you're Atlanta. So is this going to be something that, like, maybe Ron has a group in Atlanta, you got a group in Washington, and also Zoom together? Or is this all, like, you know, one type of platform idea?
Yeah, so the Running Start program will be primarily over Zoom. So it'll be, people from all over can participate in that. Eventually we'll have a longer program and that will be a combination of in person and on Zoom. And I'm really excited about that as well, but yeah, the first part is going to be on Zoom. So easy to take wherever you are.
Nice. And Ron, are you accepting more clients right now for like the business coaching work that you're doing or the business development work that you're doing?
I am. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, that's, I think it's, you know, we talked about the teachers earlier, you know, but it's so important to find that right teacher that fits with you and that, you know, matches the style that you want or feels, you know, fills that support that you need. But it's so cool to find that was the thing that I didn't know I missed until I found it after I left my corporate life was just having cool business talks. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. It's this weird jargon that not a lot of people understand, but it kind of like has this special spot in my heart because it was the first like, you know, adult thing that I did was get a official job as a manager and then grow with that. And so it's so nice to have those conversations with people that share that similar interest and that similar vernacular. So you can, you know, it's like that information it was gifted to you for a reason, you know, and so trying to find that way to help it continue to permeate throughout through your life, but more in a more responsible way this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, my first business coach that I hired, cause I knew I needed help. I didn't know where to turn. I hired a guy, a super nice guy, but he had come from corporate and had never owned a small business. He'd never been a small business owner, a practitioner. And so his ideas for how to help me were all really corporate. Spend more money, do the, you know, and as a small business owner, like, where am I going to get that money? Right. What am I going to do? You know, and so one of the reasons why I love coaching so much is because I've been there exactly where my clients are. I know what it's like to be there, to feel that. And so I love being able to have those conversations with people and really get down to what's going on with you, where are you, where do you want to go? Yeah, it's spectacular.
Yeah. And that's important, finding that right teacher, because there's so many people out there that can approach it in different ways. It's kind of like, for my example in my head that I just popped up was the tattoo artist, right? There's so many people that tattoo out there. There's going to be somebody that's got your style that you can tolerate sitting 6 hours in a chair with while they're carving on you, right? Putting you through pain and suffering and then telling you stupid jokes. Like, cool. Okay. I got it. I can find that person. Right. But there's other people out there. If you can't find that person's not right. Find the one that's right for you. Get the right idea, the right growth, the right fit for you,
Yeah. There are people we are meant to serve.
Damn straight. Susan,
That's right.
how many coaches did you kind of look at before you found Ron? Or was it right off the bat,
Oh,
found Ron? We're like, psh, here we go.
gosh. No, I mean, I've done a handful of some of them, 6 month, 9 month, year long business programs. And I've worked with other business coaches. I've worked with money coaches. I've worked with copywriting people. But Ron has been my best fit. Yeah, he's been a great fit for me.
Amazing.
I think that what you're saying, Adam, that importance of or the value of finding the right mentor, coach, teacher, along with that is like finding community that supports you in doing this, because I think this path for a lot of people, a lot of people are solopreneurs, like they're doing this, in their basement by themselves, essentially. And that's a lonely place. And it's easy for us to think that we have to reinvent the wheel, right? Because we don't know who to go to with questions. And we go to the wrong place, like, going to my mom to say, hey, I'm thinking about offering this and charging this. And, of course, I mean, my mom is lovely. I don't mean my mom in particular, but, she doesn't totally understand what I do.
Oh, yeah.
My friends that have known me since fifth grade, if I say, yeah, I'm going to charge, $10,000 for this, they're like, what? I mean, they don't get it either.
Right.
They're not in the business, the entrepreneurial world. They're not in the healing or coaching world. They just don't have a frame of reference. And they know me in ways that they don't know my professional self.
Yes.
So we really need that community of people who sees our potential and who believes in us and who take us seriously
That's a beautiful
and
statement.
can really support us in growing into that identity as a business owner, right?
Yeah. That community is so important. Thank you for that statement. Like that's knowing like the people that can support you here going forward, and not to say they can't have known you before, but if somebody's like grown up with you, siblings, family, they have this character in their head of you already. And for you to step out of that character is can be a culture shock for a lot of people. So they'll do whatever they can to keep you in that character in their brain. And so finding that community that is supportive, that allows you to be the person that you are now and then sees that potential for growth and will grow with you. Again, not discounting family because family can change and they can understand that too. But sometimes it takes like an impetus for them to see like, oh, Susan's not my little sister anymore. Susan's a business owner. Oh shit. Okay, cool. She's got business decisions to make. Oh hell. All right, cool. I can't just go give her a swirly anymore, and I've gone through that with my brothers too. I've got two brothers, an older and a younger. And I idolized my older brother for a long time, whether I realized it or not, and finally getting to a point to where I've just established myself as a person outside of the familial kind of bonds. It was kind of jarring for them at first to be like, who the fuck is this guy? Like tattoos and talking about spirit and like all this shit. I grew up as more or less an atheist. And but this is who I am, right? And this is the person that's in front of you. And so like giving them space to accept me for who I am, but also understanding like when I go to them for advice, it's going to be guised in that kind of that tint that they have of who I am to them, right? That's beautiful. Find the community. There's community out there. That's my favorite thing about yoga studios is that it's people that you never thought you'd become friends with are right there with you, sweating their asses off. All the boundaries are taken down after class. And then all of a sudden you're talking about life with somebody that you probably never would have said hi to in your entire life. That's amazing to me. Wow. Well, any parting thoughts for us as we start to wrap up here? So you said the first round of this, the running start is going to start in April. Is there continuations, kind of, you know, see what happens from this first round, go back and kind of tweak some stuff and then put it back out there?
Yeah, so the first round that we are looking at is the running start, and it's a running start into a larger, longer program. So our goal with the first part is to get those foundational aspects clear, right? So we're clear on who our audience is, what our offering is, et cetera. And then from there, we're planning on doing a longer program that will really dig into the different aspects of growing a business and help people along the way. So it's a kind of multimodal, some in person, some Zoom, et cetera, with a way of helping people along the way, so they don't feel like they're graduating from the running start and then they're just like, okay, now what do I do? Hmm. We want to be there to support them all along the way.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, that continued support, I think, is great. You know, just it helps to know that somebody's there, just a little bit of buffer, you know, a little bit of buffer here and there, just to keep you back on track. You know, somebody you can bounce questions off of that you trust. You know, that's such an important aspect to continue on with. Wow.
One thing that I think is really important about this program, what we're offering, one thing that I'm super excited about in our teaming up together is I think sometimes you need to know what to do. Mm. And sometimes you know what to do, but you're not doing it.
Get out of my head, Susan.
And so I think the two of us together with our, you know, extensive backgrounds, that's where we really bring something that's unique, I think, to growing, helping people support their own business growth, their own personal development in a way that also just makes it easier because they're personally getting through those inner blocks to, you know, whether that's from fear or self-sabotage or perfectionism or I'm procrastinating or, you know, I just can't seem to motivate myself, you know, all of that kind of thing that just greases the wheels to make everything easier because otherwise we're the ones, you know, in our own way.
Every time. You know, I've turned on to a phrase not too long ago that I really loved, and it's the accountability buddy. Right. You have an accountability buddy, you know, and it's just that person to make, hey, did you do that? Hey, make sure you send that email. Hey, make sure you get that post up, you know, and it's like you said, you don't know what you need to do until somebody sometimes can put it out for you. Hey, here's a bullet point list of all the stuff you got to do. Whew, all right, cool. I can do that. I can go top to bottom, cross things off. That's my jam. I love crossing things off. It makes me feel good inside, you know, give me more things to cross off, you know, so that's, I love that. Well, you guys are amazing. It's so nice, Susan, to talk with you again. Ron, to meet you. It's so cool to know that you guys are doing this together. If I can be of any service to you guys on the journey, please let me know. But we'll make sure to put links in the show notes for ways to get in touch with you guys, talk about the program you're working on. But you guys are amazing. Thank you again for everything. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you so much for spending time with Ron, Susan, and I. Please check out the show notes for ways to get in touch with them to look at the program that they developed or their individual offerings. Also ways to support the show. Obeisance and love. We'll see y'all next time.